At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the latest countdown to kickoff. This week, it is Exeter City away, a long trip down to the southwest coast. I'm joined by John tonight. We've got an Exeter fan in the wings, and we've got a posh fan ready to come in later on. This episode is brought to you by Lux Elite Cleaning Services. They are a window cleaning service that currently covers the areas surrounding Peterborough, such as Holbeach Eye, Werrington, Glinton, and Market Deeping. They use a water-fed pole system to get all the hard-to-reach windows, and they also offer gutter emptying and cleans with all of their state-of-the-art gutter vacuums that they've got. Now, to get started, John, it's been a pretty weird week for Posh, hasn't it, since sort of last Saturday? Any thoughts on how it's been?
Yeah, it feels like we've been linked with a lot, but not done a huge amount. Delighted Kyoso came back, and then I was like, okay, here we go. Here's the spate of signings that are going to come to the club. And it almost feels like whatever we've done hasn't really got worked. Obviously, we had Ethan Archer that we were all quite excited about. And now that one looks like it's off. Then the Hard Truth pod dropped and Darrow was intimating that a winger and a striker might not happen. And now you're kind of sat here after the Harry Leonard one today, which now looks like that's not happening, or at least it went from looking like a nailed on certainty to being somewhat doubtful. And you're thinking, well, maybe this is the reason why we shouldn't have waited until the 20-whatever of August to start doing our business, because we've got a hell of a lot of work to do in the next 4 or 5 days.
No, I totally agree with you, John. And it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because you sort of feel like maybe it would have been nice to have added something before tomorrow. But also, I think it's going to make an exciting Monday. We think that there's probably 6 to 9 that are going to go out. I'm sure that we'll discuss that later. Once we've done that, we can sort of round up where we think we're at with the outgoings that we need. But let's look ahead to tomorrow. I'm going to get Brad to join us. He is an Exeter City fan. And if I am right, he's one of the 5,000 plus Trust members. Obviously, Exeter are a fan-owned club. So, Brad, thank you for joining us this evening. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Good.
Looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, do you think? What are your first thoughts on Posh? Let's start with Posh first before, and what are your thoughts on how we've been so far this season?
I think you've got a team that are growing in confidence very, very slowly. Obviously, the table, you know, it's not really what it is. You've had a couple of hard games. You know, we're only 5 games into the season. Still 41 games to go.
No, I'm with you there. Obviously, previously, and we've discussed this with quite a few of the guests that we've had on these shows about, like, Posh used to be a feared team, didn't they? There was always players that you would say, yeah, right, they're going to cause a threat. Is there anybody in this current Posh squad, Brad, that you look at and think, right, yeah, that's somebody to look out for tomorrow? Because it's not been too positive currently with opposition fans, that's for sure.
Yeah, obviously you've got Archie Collins sat there in the middle of midfield. Obviously, the transfer request he's put in, he might leave you guys. Obviously, no one knows where you'd want to go. But then you've lost a lot of big players. Like you said, the transfer window slammed shut on Monday. So you could get a couple more in through the door. You've got an injury list as well. So time will tell. See what Darren Ferguson can do for you boys.
You mentioned Archie Collins there, Brad. What was your impressions of him when he was at Exeter? Did you see him go into the heights that he has, or even further potentially? What was the feeling around him at Exeter?
Well, he came up in like a group with the likes of Josh Key, Jack Sparks, Joel Randall. So we had a very, very good academy. We were going to teams and we were battering them in the under-16s, under-17s, under-18s. And then all of a sudden, they all come into the first team all at once under the management of Matt Taylor. But when he left on a free. But because he was under the age of 25, we got a little bit of money out of it. But that's Exeter City through and through. You look at the Ollie Watkins, you look at Ethan Ampadu, you look at Matt Grimes. They're all the same. We've all let them go very young. So we've got a little bit of money. But he could come back to us. You never know.
Do you know what, Brad, that's the funny thing that you say that is that it sort of feels like there's not really been... I know that you said he requested a transfer, but I think it was more the fact that we've transfer listed him because he's not going to sign this new deal. Is that actually he was somebody that 2 seasons ago you'd have said, yeah, he'll definitely make a move to the Championship. And now it's like it doesn't seem like anybody's sniffing around. And I think that there probably is a chance, like you say, that he either ends up with Joel Randall at Bolton, or there's a chance that he looks to move back home, obviously, back down to the Southwest with you guys. If he did make that move, do you think that's something that would be welcomed by the fans? Obviously, he's going to leave Posh on a free at the end of next season if he doesn't leave this window or in January. Do you think that he'd be welcome back down in Exeter?
Yeah, definitely. I think all fans here, they loved him. They, you know, some fans were crying when he was leaving. Obviously, everyone makes moves abroad or goes up country. But if you're homesick, I don't think going up to Bolton in Manchester, okay, it'll be with Joel Randall. He was best mates with him when he was here at Exeter. But he might come back down to the Southwest, but there's no really any decent Southwest teams. You know, you've got like the Midlands, but we'll see where he ends up.
Not Plymouth then, Brad. So,
unfortunately not, no. We've had a few players go between Plymouth and Exeter over the years, but obviously we had one certain player that moved from us this summer to join Plymouth, and that didn't go down very well at all.
I can imagine. There's that lad that's just gone between Norwich and Ipswich as well, isn't there? Which is kind of a similar move. You've got to be pretty brave to be doing something like that. For what it's worth, I can't see Archie Collins going back to Exeter. Ash is quite down on Collins at the minute, but I think he'll probably get a Championship move in the summer, I imagine, on a free. Taking us back to the game then, Brad. Tell us who we need to watch out for. I was at the game last season and I remember Milinic Ali, and he ruined us that day, although we won. And I was with another lad called Harry off the podcast. And ever since then, we were like watching him. Obviously went to Luton and did very well. Have you got anybody else that is in that mould? Anyone we need to watch out for?
Not really. We're kind of struggling at the moment. We've got a lot of injuries. We've got a lot of players that are either injured, our best players. The likes of Reece Cole, he's got a calf injury at the moment. He's fantastic, dead ball specialist, set pieces, crosses, anything really, but he's out at the moment. But there's rumours going around he might be leaving. You've got Jaden Wareham, who run around like a headless chicken, near enough. We've got him from Reading. He's only scored one league goal so far, and that was at home to Blackpool. We need two wingers, really, two new wingers to come in. Defensively, we're quite all over the place. We don't have a left-sided centre-half at the moment. That's about it, really. But, yeah.
Well, this is sounding promising.
I'll tell you what, boys, you got a chance tomorrow.
In fairness, though, you mentioned headless chickens up front and the defence is all over the place. You sound a bit like you're describing Posh. So, yeah, it could be a low quality game by the sounds of things. How do you see the game going? Are you confident that you can beat us, or are you a bit going into it with a bit of trepidation?
So I missed the Doncaster game and the Blackpool game because I was on my honeymoon. So that was quite interesting, beating them 4-1. But I went to the game against Mansfield, and for the first 20-25 minutes, we were just passing the ball forward and back, forward and back. Side to side, not getting forward at all. We're just too scared. We don't shoot. So you're quite physical. You've got a lot of power and pace on the wings. So you'll hurt us down the sides. We normally play a three at the back with two wing backs. So if you can get in the middle or get the crosses in, if you get crosses in and you've got someone on the end of it, you're going to score. We've got poor Joe Whitworth in goal. He's only 5'9". If it crosses in, you're going to score.
Yeah, look, do you know what? That's kind of a thing with Exeter, isn't it? They like the shorter goalkeeper. And I remember back to last year, Manny Fernandez, absolute pile driver from 25 yards out that somehow trickled into the back of the net, didn't it? And that was definitely one that I think Whitworth probably should have saved. He's somebody that has come back to you on loan, is that right? Again, for a second season?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so he's back on loan to us for another season, long loan from Crystal Palace. Obviously, we've had Sinisalo, who's now at Celtic. We've had Cam Dawson, who's now at Rotherham. So we've had a lot of loan goalkeepers over the last four seasons, but we haven't really nailed down a permanent goalkeeper.
Is he somebody that has performed to the levels that he did last year? Because if I remember correctly, you kept quite a lot of clean sheets early on in the season. Is that right? Is he sort of hitting the same performance levels that you had last season? Or is he somebody that's sort of disappointed and second time maybe wasn't as nice?
I think he got 16 clean sheets last season out of the 46 games. So it's quite a lot. But in the first six or seven games of the season, I think we had about four clean sheets. I think we were top with the clean sheets. We had a very fixed back three then. We had Pierce Sweeney, who's our club captain. We had Tristan Cramer, who's in the middle, who's now playing right back for Millwall. And we had John Lilifeco, who we got on a season-long loan from Rangers, who's now turned permanent this summer. So we had a very good, solid back four. And we kept a lot of clean sheets. And then if one got injured, one would replace. And then all of a sudden then, we had all three got injured. And then Cramer got recalled from Brentford and then went to Millwall. And then we had no defence. So we had three midfielders playing in the back three.
Ash mentioned short goalkeepers there. I think the one he was getting at was our old friend Christy Pym. We've actually had quite a few players go between Posh and Exeter, or mainly from Exeter to Posh. I'd love to get your feelings on Pym, Jack Sparks and Joel Randall. We've obviously done Collins, but I'd love to see what you thought of Pym, Sparks and Randall when they were at Exeter.
So Jack Sparks, Joel Randall, Archie Collins all come through exactly the same year group. Jack Sparks, let's start with him. So he was very good. Very good. Getting crosses into the box. I don't know if you've ever seen the goal he scored against Harrogate Town. We were 3-1 down at half time and we ended up winning 4-3 at St James's Park. Probably one of the best nights he's probably had in an Exeter City shirt. Joel Randall, obviously, he didn't play that many games for us, really. But you could tell he was exciting and it was always going to be that stepping stone to the next club and then try and push him on to the Championship. Obviously, went on Archie Collins. But Christy Pym, he was very good for us. Obviously, he was number two to Bobby Lesnick at the Wembley game when we played. No, he played in the semi-finals. He actually played at Wembley against Blackpool, and we lost 2-1 that day. And then he was transferred to Peterborough, I think, after that.
Brad, the final person that I want to ask you a question about is your manager, Gary Caldwell, because it seems like he's somebody that the fans support, and then all of a sudden you're sort of 2-3 months in the season and it's like, oh, he needs to go, like he's got no set plan B type thing. Is that still the same this season?
At the moment, I think a lot of fans are called to a win. Last season, we went through a really, really bad spell. We had a lot of injuries. Like I said, we had a whole midfield playing in a back three. We had no defence. So we didn't win a game in 100 days. You know, it was scary, really scary, because you know, being fan-owned, it's not like we've got an owner that can just invest money or just bring players in. But the last 3 or 4 days, the January transfer window, we bring in Ed Towns from Brighton. We bring in Angus McDonald on a free transfer. And then obviously Milena Kelly, he left to go to Luton for, you know, quite a big sum of money for us. Obviously Halifax got a little bit of money out of that, but the Caldwell out people will be coming out soon. If we can get a result tomorrow against you boys, I think we'll be booing a few.
Well, I hope that I can hear the boos ringing around St. James's Park. Two questions, Brad, just to finish this off. Somebody's come in the comments and asked if Sonny Cox is going to play tomorrow. He looks good.
So Sonny Cox, one of our own. He's come through the academy. He's trying to push. So we've got probably 4 or 5 forwards at the moment that can play in number 9 or drop behind the number 9. So he started against Northampton and he came off. I went to Northampton on Saturday. That was very poor. He came on against Mansfield with Josh McGuinness and Jaden Warren went off. But he does all right. He's trying to hold the ball up and try and lay it off and then get the balls into the box of Josh McGuinness, who's a big target man. But he'll probably start tomorrow. I'll put him in the starting lineup.
Wicked. Let's get. Can you give us a prediction, Brad, for the score? And then if Exeter are going to score, who you think the first goal scorer is going to be?
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. It'll be Jaden Wareham. And I'm going to go for... Is it Nevitt plays for you?
You're a brave man if you think that Nevitt's going to score a goal.
Yeah.
You can have a bonus point if Nevitt scores first for Potter. I reckon in our predictions.
You can have 100 bonus points because it's definitely not happening.
Never say never.
Well, thank you, Brad. Thanks for joining us on this Friday evening. Hopefully, I hope that you have a terrible Saturday between 3 and 5 o'clock tomorrow, if I'm being totally honest. It would be rude not to think that hopefully Posh are going to win. And actually, I think that we came on last week and did this last week with a Bradford fan, and I felt very deflated after that. After speaking to you, Brad, you've given me a little bit of confidence that getting up at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning might be a little bit more worth it. That's where I'm at. But thank you again for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Right, I'm going to bring in Tommy, who is our Posh guest tonight. He is an Up the Poshcast fan. I think he's also a massive Dell fan. is that right, Tommy? Are you a Dell fan?
Yeah.
And you remind me, you're 12 years old, yes?
Yes, I'm 12, yeah.
And how long have you supported Posh for then? Tell me about how long you've supported Posh.
I started supporting Posh around maybe COVID, where... I didn't have much to do and I couldn't get out of the house, so it was sort of started through like playing with him on FIFA a bit, sort of. And my parents went to a concert at the Posh ground and then I decided I'd follow my local team, so yeah.
Who's your favourite player that you've seen so far then, Tommy?
Jed Steer.
I wasn't expecting him. Why did you like Jed Steer so much?
I just felt like, because he was good, I have his gloves and his shirt from when he was at Posh. So, yeah, I think
that's pretty cool. Really good. How did you get them? Did he give them to you?
He just gave me his shirt at Barnsley last season, and Oxford away a few seasons ago, he gave me his gloves then as well.
Was that after we'd lost 5-0 or after?
It was before.
He probably didn't want those gloves again if it was the 5-0 game, did he?
Yeah.
Tommy, how have you thought this season's gone so far? Obviously, we've been quite negative, haven't we, on the podcast this season. How have you thought it's gone so far? We're 5 games in, 6th game tomorrow, aren't we?
I think it's been a bit disappointing so far that we're bottom of the league and only on 1 point. But we've had some tough games. Playing Cardiff and Luton, but I feel we've played well in the last two. I thought we played quite well against Barnsley and Bradford as well. So yeah, I think we'll be able to get a few more points, hopefully.
What do you want to see change? Obviously, we've got lots of players out injured at the moment, don't we? But it does look like they're starting to come back to fitness. Obviously, I think that we're probably going to see Garbutt and Lees both start tomorrow. What do you think that we're missing? So to sort of make this team start ticking and winning games, Tommy?
I think that we could just do with someone who's just going to keep getting the ball in the net. Someone who, like, when we just cross it in and he'll finish it like that. And then I think, yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
Tommy, if you're a COVID fan, you must be all about JCH. He must have been unreal. I'm not a massive FIFA man, me, but he must have been really good in that
he's
team,
not
surely.
Fast enough, Ash. You can't be playing JCH on FIFA. He's not got enough pace, has he, Tommy?
No, he's not too fast.
No, I bet Ricky was the man, weren't he?
Yeah, Ricky was really quick.
Yeah. If you were in charge at Posh, Tommy, this season, and obviously deadline day's coming up, what positions do you want signing before the end of the window?
I'd say we could probably do with a left winger or a striker, I'd say, to bring a bit more attack in. Yeah.
Or both, because, Tommy, I'm sure that you'll know that We're not massive Oddo fans here, are we? And I think tell me about Lisby, Tommy, because he's very active, isn't he, on TikTok and things like that. And I hope that he continues doing that because it gives a great insight to the players and sort of access to them that you wouldn't normally get. What are your thoughts on him, Lisby, so far this season? Obviously, he was good against, who was it, Barnsley that he came on against, if I remember correctly. Oh, no, it was Wigan, where he came on and he was good, wasn't it? What are your thoughts on him?
I think he's good. He's very quick. I thought at the start of the season we'd put him on to run at tired defenders late on in the game to try and cross the ball in. But I'm happy that he's starting and I like him a lot as well. So, yeah, I'm happy with Lisby so far.
Tommy, obviously you said Jed Steer was your favourite player so far. Have you got a favourite player from this current batch of this season?
Well, I do like Lisby, but probably Kyoso right now that he's come back. Yeah.
Let's talk about Kyoso because he's an interesting one, isn't he? Do you think that if Kyoso stayed after that win at Derby away, that we would have got promoted that season? What are your thoughts?
I think we would have got promoted that season.
Do you not think that Katongo was good enough, or do you think it was elsewhere that we had issues? Do you think that Kyoso would have been the sole reason that we got promoted?
No, Katongo was good that season. But I feel like Kyoso could have brought a bit more experience in for the rest of the season, that season. I think we probably could have had a better chance to get promoted or gotten promoted with Kyoso.
Well, I assume if you like Kyoso, you'd be starting him tomorrow, Tommy, at Exeter.
Yeah.
Who would you have in your defence tomorrow then?
I'd have Kyoso, Akagbu, is that how you say his name? And Tom Lees and probably Carl Johnston as well. I think he's had a good start to the season.
Yeah, he has done well. You're not playing Harley Mills then. What do you think about Harley Mills and him not starting?
I like Harley Mills, but I think we're putting a bit too much pressure on Harley Mills at the minute. I think we should just give Harley some time. From obviously Kyoso coming in, I think Kyoso could maybe give some experience to Harley Mills as well. But yeah, I do like Harley Mills, but I think Carl Johnston's just had so far a better start to the season.
So. Yeah, I think we all agree with that. I wasn't a big Carl Johnston fan, but he has done all right this season. Who else are you lining up with? How would you set the team up tomorrow, Tommy? You're Darren Ferguson for a day. How are you starting? We obviously know your defence, but what about your midfield and an attack?
I'd still keep Keller and Collins in the midfield. I think that's a good pairing. And then I'll have three midfielders with Lisby on the left and Garbett in the 10 and maybe Odo on the right or the left maybe.
You had me there, Tommy, and then you said Odo on the pitch, and I thought you were going to go for a perfect 11, and then you said Odo on the pitch. Surely Kean Hayes starts over Odo tomorrow,
yes,
if we need him on the right wing. That was what you meant, wasn't it, for sure?
And I'd probably say Brad up top to start as well, yeah.
Now, I don't want to cause any controversy on a Friday Night Live, but I didn't see Brad in any of the... in any of the pitches for the squad heading down. So I think that there's a chance, and this may be a salacious headline, that Brad won't be in the squad tomorrow. I think that we're probably going to be starting with Gustav, or I think back to last Friday and Fergie's interview, and he said that Lolos can play in the nine. I think there's a chance that we see Lolos in the nine tomorrow. Tommy, just before we finish off with yourself, you're not going tomorrow, are you? You're not making the trip down because you've got a game in the morning. Which is fine. Lucky you. I wish I was not driving down to Exeter in the morning. What's your score prediction and who's your first Posh goal scorer, if you think Posh are going to score?
I think we'll win 2-0 tomorrow, hopefully. And I think first to score will be Garbett. I think he could get one, hopefully.
Correct. I'm not going to give too much away, but I've predicted Garbett to score first as well. Thank you, Tommy, for joining us on this Friday night. I'm going to hopefully we'll bring back 3 points tomorrow, and you can get 3 points in your game as well in the morning. But thank you for joining us this evening.
Thanks.
Are you going to give us up the podcast before you go, Tommy?
Up the podcast.
Thank you. Speak soon.
Bye.
Right, John. Shall we talk more on Brad? Because Carl Kirk's made the comment that I was going to make. I'm going to pull it up. Brad is too busy at the carnival. This is an interesting one, and like I said, I don't want to be making false headlines, but Brad obviously got dropped and put on the bench, didn't he, last week instead of Gustav, and I think that Brad was kind of one of those ones that he just needed to continue playing. And is there a chance that maybe his attitude has dropped off again potentially? I don't know what you think, John.
I don't want to, I think it's hard to get into that. I mean, is there a chance? I guess so, given that what we know about Brad, but I don't want to say that without any justification. And like, he can go to the carnival and have fun and do a TikTok and do whatever he wants. It's his day off. Like, I'm not going to chastise him for that. What may be more likely is that when he came off the pitch and tried to turn and shoot and move like an 18-wheel truck in the box, Fergie's gone, maybe you're not a bit of me. That being said, I would much rather have Brad in the team than Gustav Lindgren, regardless of what his attitude have been like, to be honest. Give me another week of Brad. At least he holds the ball up a bit instead of the child that we've got up front in Gustav. If we start him, he's just going to get bullied again for another 90 minutes. So, yeah, long journey. It's a long way to go to watch Gustav Lindgren. That's what I would say.
an even longer way to go if it's Oddo that ends up on the pitch as well. I'm gonna ring through some of the comments because Neil, the Bradford fan, told you to smile initially. I'm not gonna pull that one up, and then I think you did smile, and he was quite happy about that. He thinks that we're gonna win tomorrow 2-0. I can't even remember what prediction I've gone for. We'll pull it up on the screen in a second. We did not, Declan, we did not get pecked by the chickens. And I, trust me, I was so happy about that because that was something I was not ready for. Who else we got? Ask Ash if Wallin is back from Sweden. Now, if I remember correctly, James is Scotty. I'm pretty confident on that, that Scotty is James. So he's watching at the moment. I don't know the answer to that. Do you know, John? I don't think he is. We've not heard anything from Fergie.
No idea. However, given you're throwing out theories about Brad, I have a theory about Oscar Vallin that he is not going to be at the club come September the 1st. I think he is a goner. I can't see any reason why else the club would still be in for a centre-back, which Alan Swan at the PT. Notice I've given you some credit there, Alan, just in case. Notice that. He has said that Posh is still in for a centre-half. So I can't see any reason for that unless it's going to be a departure. And some people might say Nevitt's going to go out on loan, but I actually think Nevitt's probably looked better than Vallin for a lot of this season. So I think there's a real chance that Vallin leaves. He's in the last year of his contract. I don't think it's really worked for us or for him, it should be said. He's gone back to Sweden a few times now. I think it might be best for all parties just to move on.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we seem to be hoarding players as such, don't we, at the moment? And it's kind of like, actually, similar with Collins, if he's only got a year left, then there's a chance that probably he should go Wallin the same again. We don't want to be in a position where we have another two or three players leaving on a free. So if it is that this is Wallin's time, I think we say thank you. It was an experiment. Same with Gustav. It was an experiment and a trial that ultimately didn't work. And I don't think that we'll be heading to IKEA for any more players in the future. Ben has asked, my son wants to go to an away game this season. The team's not relevant this week, but what's Huddersfield like as an away game? Now, I personally quite like Huddersfield. I'm actually not going and disappointed with that because I'm going to watch England at Villa, thanks to John. And Bolton is also a good away day, provided that they put you in the lower tier. Sometimes they put you in the upper tier. And one thing about Bolton as well is it is always cold. I have literally never been to Bolton and it'd be warm. But Huddersfield, the problem that you've got with Huddersfield is that the train station's closed. So you literally can't get a train into Huddersfield. So if you're happy to drive up there, then I would say that Huddersfield is a good one to go to. It's a bigger way end. They sort of block off some of the seats on the end. But other than that, is there any else that you think, John, that would be good? I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
I think you're safe with Huddersfield or Bolton, aren't you? They're two nice grounds. I've done them both before. Huddersfield's probably a little bit more scenic around the ground, I would say, than Bolton, which is, I think, if I remember rightly, just a bit industrialised. But yeah, you'll be fine at both those grounds. Where else is a good away day in the division? I think
Doncaster. Yeah, Rotherham and Doncaster, yeah. So somebody's just put that in the chat. Donnie, 50 minutes on the train. It's not 2 hours in the car. No way is it 2 hours in the car from Peterborough. Hour and 15 at most. But not, yeah, I think
any bus.
Yeah, we're going to be pulling some serious miles. It's a 25 plate tomorrow. So if you see me doing 70 max on the M4 tomorrow, you'll know that we're cruising well. Yeah, I think the two new stadiums, Rotherham and Doncaster, are probably good ones. Burton, I do quite like Burton, I must admit. That's not too far away, is it? But that's a terrace behind the goal. That's always a little something different, isn't it? Other than that, I think Stevenage is a good one.
It's a bit non-league, Stevenage.
Yeah, but it's still nice. You're close to the ground. You get to see the players. That's why I like going to Exeter, because you can literally stand right next to the pitch. And rumours are, John, that if Posh score a 90th minute winner tomorrow, I'm going to chuck you over the hoardings and onto the pitch. And you can celebrate with Otto.
I'll take the 3-year ban at this rate, mate. You'll be doing me a favour.
Let's have a look. So up the Posh 87 has said he moved to Exeter from Pete around 6 years ago and he can't meet the game tomorrow. He's doing a 26-mile trek for the Alzheimer's Society. Really enjoy your podcast. Keep it up the Posh. That is impressive. A 26-mile trek is a long way. It's a marathon, isn't it, right? Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah.
I'd assume that he's going to do the 0.2 miles as well, right? to round it off. So, but yeah. It's 26 more miles than I will be walking tomorrow because I'll be parking as close to the ground as I can, getting my food. And one good thing about Exeter that I will, just before we finish this off, Carl Kirk's brought another one. You get a free cup of tea if you're like the first 50 people in. So that's a positive of when you go to Exeter. Harry Leonard, John, you got any thoughts on him and whether this is going to go through?
The most recent tweet that was being referred to, I assume, is the fact that we're 300K off signing him. Is that correct? Anyone want to pull me up in the comments? Or is there another one that's come out whilst we were recording?
No, so I've seen that one, isn't it? So I think that the million has been agreed, but I think that they want more up front. I don't think it's that they want another 300K, is it, right? It's not that they want 1.3. It's that, let's say that we're paying 500 grand up front. They want 800.
Right.
That's my understanding of it, at least.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's not an insignificant amount of money. However, given the importance of a striker, it almost feels that if we're haggling over 300K, just pay it. It genuinely could be the difference between relegation and staying in the league. And then if you don't pay it, it's more than 300K. I guess the trepidation with buying somebody like Leonard is his injury record, isn't it? It looks, from what I can deduce from reading Blackburn fans' comments, he looks a decent player when he's fit. But we've signed a lot of injury-prone players this summer, or players that are injured, let's say. And adding another one, I don't know. I'm really infused by the signing. I think it's great that we're showing the ambition to go and get a striker that scored goals in the Championship. I think it's exactly the sort of move that Posh should be making. But I guess that's where the fear comes from. I would go and pay it. I think you've left yourself in this situation because you left it so late. If this was June, then maybe I think you go, okay, we'll stop and have a look and assess our other options. If we go for somebody else now, you've got very little time to get that deal done. So I think given the situation we're in, given the necessity for a striker, if it's 300 grand, pay it and make the difference up somewhere else over the course of the season. I don't know where that'll be, but that's what I'd be doing.
Yeah, so Kyle's just said in the comments that there is a new tweet, and I've just pulled that up now, that said that he's finished his exit interview at Blackburn, has said his goodbye. Rudy Gusted had agreed the deal, but Sir Hale, who I think is probably the owner, allegedly blocked it, unaware it was happening, and now wants more money. But that's a difficult one, isn't it? Because
in that case, it's done, isn't it? Dara won't change the terms. If that deal was agreed, nor should he, in fact. I don't think that's the way to do business, is it? If you've agreed a deal as a club, you can't then renege on that after you've shook hands, done an exit interview. That's poor conduct from them more than us. And I agree that if I was in charge, I wouldn't be paying the extra. But it doesn't help Posh. That's what I would say. It really doesn't help us.
Do you know what? This is something that's not really happened for Posh in quite a long time, is it? Is that it feels like there's going to be a little bit of like controversy around this transfer, and it may rumble on all weekend, and it might be one that the deadline's at 7 o'clock on Monday. It might be one that we get announced at 8 o'clock or 8:30. I think it's the owner can't agree or doesn't approve this deal, but clearly it's somebody that we want. Whether he becomes a success, and I think that was one thing that we discussed earlier in one of our group chats, is that this wouldn't be the first time that we spent £1 million on a striker, and I think that there was 4, JCH, Tyrone Barnett, Mo Issa and Britt. 2.5 of those probably worked. I don't think that Mo Issa was a bad transfer. Obviously, he ended up with Ivan Toney, didn't he? So he was never going to win that battle.
He was competent. He'd be our best striker now. I'd give him that. But he wasn't worth over £1 million, was he?
No, absolutely not. John, I think that I'm done with everything I've got. We've got to do the predictions. So I'm going to pull those up on screen now because I can't even remember what I predicted. I've gone with a 3-1 Posh win. I was clearly feeling confident when I submitted this. Garbit, like I said earlier, is my first goal scorer. Charlie's also gone with 3-1. Clady Lolos. Dell has gone with the same prediction as he did last week and the previous 4, 5, 6 games that we've had now. Harry with a 2-1 Posh win. John, do you want to talk us through yours?
I was feeling confident. I did this prediction in the Chiosa hype, and at that time I was like, yeah, we're winning the league. And now the reality's dawned on me. We haven't made any more signings and Frith's injured. So my prediction of the first score is not even looking good. I can't believe every single host has gone for either a posh win. In fact, we've all gone for a posh win apart from Dell, who predicts a draw every week.
And Max actually thinks that we're going to keep a clean sheet, which is probably the most surprising thing. I was speaking to somebody earlier. It was January that we kept our first clean sheet. And I think it's probably going to be similar this season. I'm just going to pull up some of these more outrageous Mega Mind crusaders. I think that we're going to win 4-0. I would love that. That would make a very good drive home, that's for sure. 1-0. I think the more that I think about it and the lack of potentially Brad playing, and I've got a funny feeling this is going to be a nil-niller. But if I could change my prediction and hadn't just pulled it up on the screen, I just think it's going to be... Brad spoke earlier and said that they've not really got a great deal up front and they're relatively robust at the back. We're probably similar. And if they've not got a great deal up front, then we're probably going to be hopefully comfortable in the back as well. So, if I could change. And obviously Frith looks like the exciting one at the moment, doesn't he? So I think Declan's trying to rage bait you, John.
Yeah, Nevitt's more likely to score than that.
And Declan does make a good point. £1 million for a player that's been injured for 18 months is a lot of money.
The thing is, Ash, though, £1 million in modern day football isn't that great a deal of money anymore. It used to be a lot of money, but given the inflation around football, £1 million is, for a guy that scored 4 or 5 championship goals under the age of 21, is about the going rate, regardless of what's happened to him. You're obviously taking a punt on potential, aren't you? And that you can keep him fit. But I think if he didn't have those injuries and he was if we go back to before the injuries, you're probably looking at close to 4 or 5 million. So that's why he's discounted.
Yeah, I guess so. Fingers crossed. I think it's definitely the one position, isn't it? If you could only sign one player, I think that's probably... Well, not so much player, one position.
Just give me a left winger. Ash, give me a left winger. I can't do any more, although...
You take a left winger over a striker?
Just to get Otto out of the team. I just can't do another season of him. Just can't do another season.
hopefully Huddersfield come back in with that 750k bid and take him off our hands. Just
75 pence will do, mate.
Yeah. Well, if they get it done before the deadline, maybe he'll play against us next week and then you will be able to...
Yes, we're going to win.
Shout out Abraham Otto. But yeah, thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Thank you for... being in the comments and providing your opinions. It's much appreciated. It's a slightly shorter one tonight because I need to go to bed because we're, like I say, I'm up at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning to drive to Exeter, pick John up on the way and hopefully see Posh get 3 points. So, like I say, thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you to Lux Elite Cleaning Services for their partnership this week. Thank you to the Next Level Barbell Club for sponsoring our Predictions League as well. I'm going to give an update on that on Sunday. So you'll be able to see, because if I remember correctly, there's only 5 people that can win this month's prize, the monthly prize. So hopefully everybody has a good weekend. Thank you all, like I say, for joining us. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.